Thank you. Welcome. It's a dry heat. Well, Alvin and I had a fun couple weeks, but we did decide we needed professional help. But we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah. I like spending that $80 million you get.
I told
he cut me off, though. He took the company credit card away. That was it.
When you get to 20 players, stop. Seriously, we're here today to welcome Lon Babby and his wife Ellen to Phoenix. And welcome, Lon, as our new president of basketball operations for the Phoenix Suns. This has been a process that's been ongoing for about a month, 2 months. And I will say that, you know, the Suns have had a pretty good run since this organization came to Phoenix. Fourth best winning percentage in the NBA. And the last 6 years have been pretty good, too. And one of the things that's tough sometimes is when things are going well to kind of venture away from the norm a little bit. But I'm a firm believer that you got to continually try to improve at what you do and continually try to get better and continually challenge yourself. The business of the NBA is one that's evolving and changing and will continue to change with a new collective bargaining agreement at some point here in the future. And I felt that Lon was the exact type of person we needed in this organization to deal with that change and really put us in a position to continue to contend for a championship and have sustained success within the Suns organization. Lon's got a pretty distinguished background in sports, having spent the last 30 years on both sides of the table. He worked on behalf of ownership, negotiating large contracts, and then he spent the last 15 years as an agent representing some of the elite players in the NBA. He's got a unique insight into this business. At the end of the day, success for me in terms of basketball operations revolves around the ability to analyze talent, the ability to understand the collective bargaining agreement and the business of basketball and how that can be used not only to comply with those rules but as an offensive weapon to make your team better. Success in negotiation. 80% of the money we spend as an organization that's discretionary is on player contracts. And how we negotiate those contracts and how we value those contracts and how we deal with those contracts is a real key to our success. There will be a new collective bargaining agreement at some point, and those teams that are able to understand that agreement and know how to work within that agreement earlier are going to have more success. So to me, I was really excited that Lon was interested in coming on board and making a career change, and really welcome here to the Phoenix Suns organization. I think, Lon, you're exactly what we needed, what I needed in this organization going forward. I'll say that I relied on Alvin, too. And I've been blessed here, whether it's dealing with Mike D'Antoni or Alvin Gentry. I mean, I've had coaches that want what's best for this organization and have put oftentimes their personal agenda aside to just make good recommendations to me and suggestions to me as to what makes sense. Alvin's been in this business a long time. He's worked with a number of teams, number of organizations. I respected his judgment and his opinions and relied on Alvin in this process too. And I think Alvin and Lon will work very well together. As I said, this is a little bit outside the box. My personal belief is you're going to see more and more of this going on within the NBA, where basketball executives are going to come from a background other than basketball, playing and coaching basketball. And, you know, I think this may be a little bit of a template of what you're going to see going forward. I did feel good going to Summer League, where a lot of executives were there and people kept coming up and saying, hey, you know, congratulations, you really made a great selection here. You're lucky to have Lon. One of the things that to me was at the top of the list was Lon, is he's just got impeccable, not only credentials, but character and reputation of being someone that's honest and forthright, but being someone that people really like to deal with. And one of the tricks in negotiating with agents on contracts is to do it in a way so that you represent your franchise and do the best job you can, but also make everybody feel good. And he's got unique insight in dealing with players and knowing from their side, you know, what makes them feel good, what are their hot buttons, how to make things work. And I'm just really excited that all that experience and all that insight and all that talent is now going to be on the side of the Phoenix Suns. And with that, I'll turn it over to Alvin for some comments, and then we can let Lon discuss.
I don't have a whole lot to say other than, you know, I've known Lon for a long time, and I've dealt with him all the way back to the Detroit days with Grant Hill, and I can honestly say that I'm really looking forward to having a great relationship with Lon. I think that, you know, his number one goal is going to be to put us in a situation where we can not only win games but try to build a championship team as we continue to try to get over the hump in that area right there. And I think he'll do everything humanly possible that that can be done to try to help us accomplish that. And to me, that's the main thing that you would want in an executive that have anything to do with the basketball part of it, and that's that he would try to put us in a situation talent-wise where we can have the best chance to win a championship. So I know that he'll work extremely hard. I know we'll get along great together. We got along great together when he was an agent. So now that he's actually on our team, I think it'll even be that much better. But I look forward to the relationship, and I look forward to working with Lon. And as I said, I think he'll do a fantastic job here.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for coming out, and let me thank Robert for that very kind introduction. And more importantly, I thank him for giving me what I view as the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, I've been going to press conferences like this for a long, long time. Not my own, but I've been going to press conferences like this for a long, long time. And more often than not, a player will sit at a table like this and they'll say, you know, this is a dream come true to play for this team or for that team. And they're almost saying it by rote. And you look out in the audience and there's always someone there who's kind of rolling their eyes because they've heard it 100 times before. Well, I'm about to say the same thing. This truly is a dream come true for me. It's a wonderful opportunity. And the reason I say that is because it allows my career to come full cycle. I've been in sports now for 35 years. First half on management, second half 15 or 16 years representing players. And now I have an opportunity to bring everything that I've seen and learned over those many, many years to this wonderful organization. To me, the Phoenix Suns are not just a premier NBA franchise, but an elite franchise in all of sports. And so I'm truly humbled to be the president of basketball operations. And it is humbling, but I am reassured by having Robert's support, by having Alvin Gentry in place as our head coach, because he's shown his mettle as a first-class, first-rate head coach this last spring. I've known him, as he said, since Grant's days back in Detroit, and his evolution as a coach, has been sensational. And I remember telling him that in Washington earlier this year, that it's just joyous to watch what's happened to him in the course of his coaching career. And so that friendship was very, very important to me in considering doing this. The other person who's here is Rick Welts, who I see over there. And Rick and I have known each other for probably 20 years as well. And to have that kind of talent here, that kind of support, it takes a little off the edge off of doing something quite so different and quite so humbling. So I look forward to this new challenge. I look forward to getting to know each and every one of you in this room, and I look forward to working with you. So with that, any questions you have, I'll do my best to avoid.
Robert, can you describe the talent evaluation component? You described his impeccable business credentials. Mm-hmm. How will that kick in? Is there another part to this?
Yeah, they will. There will be, and I'll just actually turn it over to Lon because he'll be best to address that.
I'm going to play to my strengths. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. I've never told anybody I was Red Auerbach. I have no expectation of taking the lead on those kinds of talent evaluation questions. My first order of priority is to bring somebody in here who is a basketball genius. We have some basketball geniuses here. I've spent my whole career surrounded by geniuses, and I expect to continue to do that. What I'm going to try to do is bring my discipline, my processes, my abilities to raise the level of preparation so that we are exhausted of it in everything we do. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a first-rate talent evaluator because that's not where my strength is, and I'm not pretending otherwise. And that will be a first order of business, and we'll take our time to get the right person here. But I think you can bring somebody into this structure who can thrive in it, because this is just a wonderful place.
Could you take us through the timeline of how this all came about? And you were at one point kind of, I wouldn't say working both sides of the fences, but you're representing a player. You knew this was a possibility at that time. Was that a difficult situation? And just when did this all start in terms of you being?
It's a fair question. I've always prided myself on having the highest sense of ethics and responsibility. And I have to say, sometimes in this industry, it's like the one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind. So it's you know, I don't want to overstate my credentials in that area. But I was very sensitive to those issues. Robert and I started talking probably in June about a transaction involving Hedo. This was not the only team we were talking to. We had come up with this concept of amending his contract to relieve some of the financial burden on a team, because he very much wanted to leave Toronto, and they very much wanted him to leave. I mean, it was not a good marriage. Sometimes that happens. So over the course of time, we had many conversations about that. And when I began to sense that there might be an opportunity for me here, I immediately recused myself from those discussions, and of course had full disclosure with Hedo, and at some point had full disclosure particularly with those other clients who were free agents, so as to avoid being in a situation where someone could accuse me of steering somebody in one way or another. So I think we handled it appropriately. I've always had the best interests of my clients first and foremost in my mind. I try to do that here as well. And now my loyalties are to this great organization. Turned it over to my partner, Jim Tanner, who's uniquely qualified to handle it, and explained it to the players, and they were, you know, fully understanding of it.
Robert, you mentioned earlier that you thought this was a wave of the future. You're going to see more and more of this. Why do you say that?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the tools available in our industry, from an analytics standpoint, from a data standpoint, and also looking at the idea that my hunch is over time there's going to be more parity in the league, that it's going to be more and more, maybe not quite as much how much money people spend, but how wisely they spend it and how they deal within the parameters of the system. And I think as the system changes, it's going to be more and more important to be able to have a really good, firm understanding of what I'd call the business side of basketball, which is really the collective bargaining agreement, the cap, how that works, and all the analytics that are out there. One of the things for me that was really interesting about interviewing, I started with a list of maybe 20 candidates that I had information on, and I spoke with about a dozen. And one of the good things about that is you get to learn about how other people see your organization, and you get to learn about what other people do in their organization and things that are out there. And as I begin to learn more and more about kind of where organizations are trending, you begin to see more and more as to really what your needs are for the future. And that's really where I became excited about the opportunity with someone like Lon, who really will bring a lot of skill set in some of those areas that I think are going to become increasingly more important in having a successful team.
Why did it not work with Hedo in Toronto, and what makes you believe it will work better here?
You know, sometimes the best laid plans go amiss. They were very enthusiastic about having him. He was enthusiastic about going there. I think Hedo, and he's going to be here in the next couple of days, I think Hedo had a rough summer last summer because of free agency, because first of all, he had never played so long into June with the Magic going to the finals. Then he had his free agency, which is always a turbulent, exhausting process for a player. Then he had world championships. So he had a very, very busy summer, and I'm not sure he was quite where he needed to be when he arrived in Toronto. And then I think there were issues that arose in Toronto and the way they used him and other things. It's just one of those things that didn't work out. But I know Hedo. I've known him for a long time. He's going to be highly motivated to come here. And don't forget, 2 years ago, he really carried that team on his back to the finals. And it was an extraordinary performance that showed not just his skill, but his courage, which is something you always want in a player. So I'm excited he's coming here. It'll be nice to have a familiar face. Obviously, I'm excited that Grant's here. I'm taking particular pleasure in the fact that for the last week or so, he started to call me boss, which is a nice change.
Can you talk about the new structure, having a new layer of management, if you will, how that'll change or impact decision-making?
Well, I think there's really four areas that you got to do really well at. Evaluating talent, negotiating contracts, understanding the CBA, and communicating with players and agents and coaches and things. And the more and more I got to kind of thinking about how you do really well at all those, the more I started thinking that I'm not so sure one person can do all those really, really well. They're kind of different skill sets, and sometimes they take different personalities. And that really what maybe made the most sense was to put together a team, and rather than kind of bring someone in who is more of a generalist in all those areas, but have two people that are specialists that really can give us the best so that we're really good in all four. Part of how that all comes together is going to be Lon's decision. I mean, he's ultimately going to be responsible for the whole basketball operations and for the work that comes out of that department. I will say we've made a couple small changes and steps here recently. A few other things that I feel are important that I've kind of gathered a little bit. One is this whole process of scouting in terms of, you know, the time and energy and effort and dollars you spend on college scouts versus NBA scouting. I always find our business kind of interesting. And I've been guilty of it too. You take this whole year to scout college players, you know, teams do, and have just an elaborate process that goes through for a year, and a lot of analysis and a lot of detail and a lot of work watching and scouting and evaluating, and then you sign a player to a, you know, $8 million, $9 million contract. Then 3 days later, you go spend $70 million on a free agent like this. And so to me, it's almost like we got a little bit backwards. So one of the things that Lon and I have talked about is we're going to have dedicated NBA scouting staff whose full-time job will be to scout NBA players. And we will really focus in on that, especially having – I was a little bit involved in the free agency this year. And Phoenix is really – I mean, Jerry did a great job establishing Phoenix as a place that players want to play. And a lot of it was the work he did to make an environment – and I've tried to continue with some of that to make it a place that people want to be. But, you know, weather, climate, fan base, there's a lot of things that go into it. But I think Phoenix is a team that can continue to get better and operate real successfully through free agency. And so we're going to expand the work we do in scouting NBA players. The other thing we've done is we've just hired a full-time individual whose full-time job is going to be to work out our players year-round. And to really take advantage of that offseason is a way to really get our, especially our younger players, progressing. So I think what you'll see is maybe more bodies doing more different things. And at the same time, what's important is we continue to do the really good things that have helped make us successful, which is good communications within our basketball department, which is a great medical training staff, which is success in evaluating talent in the draft that we've done. So if we can take all the things we've done that are real good and then evolve into some of these other things that we can expand, then I think we can get the best of both worlds and you know, hopefully just continue to get better.
Another person to carry the general manager title.
Yes.
That's sort of what we're talking about here.
Right.
And so I guess my question also is, when did you decide to go this direction as opposed to a more conventional approach? What made you think that might work?
Well, I've been thinking about it for a while, in terms of just, you know, what you need to be successful in learning. You know, I'll tell you one thing. This business is a lot more complicated than I thought 6 years ago. And the more and more I get into it, and more I learn about some of the things that are going on out there, and some of the tools and some of the data and some of the information and the work and the preparation that goes in, the more complicated it becomes. And so I, you know, like in my business, in banking, you've got certain people, you know, we got to go get the business. And then once you get the business, you got to be able to analyze and make good loans. Okay, so we've got hunters and then we got skinners. And they require different skill sets. So the person who's the best at going out bringing in business isn't usually the person that's best underwriting the loan to see if the guy's going to pay or not. You know what I mean? Well, in this business, you've got different skill sets too. And sometimes one person isn't an expert at all of it. But I can tell you one thing. These agents, having been on the other side of these guys, I mean, he's carved me up a few times. And these guys are pros. I mean, these guys are pros. They do it full-time for a living, and so I'm happy to have one that does it full-time on my side, too.
Am I a hunter or a skinner?
Huh?
Am I a hunter or a skinner?
You are a skinner.
Okay.
Now you are.
Now I am. Okay.
What is the timeline for making
this hire? I'll respond to that. I think the timeline is using one of my favorite legal phrases, all due deliberate speed. I mean, we're on it. We've already started it. We know it's important. It is the highest priority that I have. But we're going to take our time to find the right person who's going to be comfortable in this structure, who can grow in this structure, and we'll get a great person. I have no doubt about that.
Two-part question for you. One, how big a pay cut did you have to take? And two, are you the first Yale Law School?
My wife will answer the first question.
There is some sacrifice there, I guess. Right. Seriously, but also, are you the first Yale Law School NBA executive, you think?
I have no idea, but I'm willing to run with it if you are. I have no idea.
Have a thing, though, but you willing to make whatever financial sacrifice they are to do with something to take this challenge on?
Look, you know, I'm 59 years old. I view this as the culmination of a great set of opportunities that I've had. You know, one of my favorite books is a book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, in which he identifies those things that account for success. And one of his principal theses is that you have to put in 10,000 hours to be good at anything. And I feel like over the last 35 years, I put those 10,000 hours in to put me in a position to do this job. And it's a wonderful opportunity. You know, when you're an agent, you really get a window into every organization in the NBA. You know how every organization works. You may not know all the details, but you know a lot. And you have players in those places, and you deal with those players, and you negotiate with those teams. So I have a pretty good sense, both from my management background and from my work as an agent, about what works and what doesn't. What are the pressure points for teams? What are the pressure points for players? And so to have that opportunity at this stage of my life to implement all of that and try to bring that kind of information to this place, I mean, you know, that's not, I want to get paid, but it's not about that, because this is, it really is a, you know, who has this kind of opportunity? And, you know, I'm relishing it.
Extra money going into the NBA scouting, will it be less money in college scouting, or is that staying the same?
No, that'll stay the same. It may be done a little bit differently, but it'll be staying the same, or maybe even increasing a little bit. Yeah.
Robert, with all the
all these changes, business, and then the off-season acquisitions, do you believe that you've sustained your position as a team that finished number two in the West?
I don't know. I think my guess is this year we'll probably be predicted somewhere between 8 and 10 in the West. I think most people think we took a pretty big step backwards, you know, losing Amari. Obviously, Amari is a hell of a player, and he's going to be missed here. So I don't know that my expectations are really much higher than they were at the start of the season last year. Does that make you feel better? You know, we're going to have to wait and see. I don't really know. I know what I've tried to do is help our organization get some good talent, knowing that, you know, Alvin will figure out how to use them and how to make it work. Whether we're going to take a step forward or to step backwards, I don't really know.
We like being the underdog, though. I think everyone would pick us. Like Robert said, about where we were, but the guys on this team has a tendency to find a way to overachieve, if you want to call it overachieving. But I think we'll be very competitive, and I don't look for us to take a step back, no.
As long as we vote for this can of worms out, and then what's your sense of the roster now, not having seen them practice?
I like it. I mean, obviously I like it. You know, Robert and I, we talked a lot. We spent a lot of time together. If you don't believe me,
you
ask
made me. It. I hope you like it.
If you don't believe me, ask my wife, okay? Yeah. She'll tell you. But we spent a lot of time together, and, you know, these are guys that I asked Robert to, you know, to add to the team, and he went out and got it done, and I'm happy with the people that we have. Obviously, I think Hedo is a real versatile player that can do a lot of things. He's a guy that, obviously, we've coveted here and thought that we had signed 6 years ago to play in a system like we play in. So I think that with the addition of the players that we have, we'll never be able to replace Amari, and I think that's the wrong language, I think. But we do have guys that I think can step in. And then with the young guys, obviously, they're going to have to improve. We expect for Robin to come back, and he'll be improved, and Gordon to be improved, and Earl to step in and play a role. So we're not looking to take a step back. I can tell you that we don't want to do that.
You know, they're tough decisions. You know, do you try to rebuild as you're going? Do you tear it down and start over? Do you, you know, try to be bad for 3 or 4 years and get a top draft pick? You know, how do you what do you do? I mean, these are kind of tough questions. And you look back, we looked at. You know, if we hold off and don't spend our money, who's available next year? Who's available the year after? Who are the franchise players we could get? We looked at that list next year, you know, one player. Didn't think we had a good shot there. So, you know, I thought about a number of things. Number one, as long as Steve and Grant are here, I feel an obligation to help them be as successful as possible. So I don't want to throw the towel in and just completely start over. Number two, for better or for worse, I don't know that I could sit there for 4 years and watch a terrible team play. And I think we got too many good players to be terrible, even if we wanted to try to be terrible. And then what we eventually came up with is, you know, we can kind of rebuild as we're going. And since we do have a number of free agents that we think we can attract to this market, what we can do is we can sign some good contracts at reasonable prices that give us the ability to really compete again and be good, but also the flexibility that if we want to bring that franchise player in and that opportunity, the best way that's going to happen for us is through a trade, not through free agency over the next couple of years. So we thought this was a best way to give us the opportunity to be really good, but at the same time have the flexibility to bring in a franchise player or two through trading if, in fact, those opportunities arrive. And that's what we ended up doing, what we did.
How did the potential lockout impact any of your decisions, if at all?
Well, what it didn't really financially, but what it said is, hey, there's going to be a new system there. We don't know exactly what it's going to be, okay? But one thing's for sure is I'd like to have some flexibility so that under that new system we can be successful under – various scenarios of that new system, and that's kind of what we ended up doing.
And I will say I view it as my job to have not only a short-term plan, but a long-term plan. And I'm hoping that we can get a jump start on everybody else in understanding the new collective bargaining agreement, understanding its nuances, finding the little hidden jewels in it that we can use to our advantage. And so, you know, we have to be prepared. I'm a big believer in preparation, exhaustive preparation. And we're going to spend all of our time thinking not just about where this team is now, but where it's going to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Now, you can't always predict that. But I think if you're prepared, you have a better chance of making good decisions. And look, this is a human endeavor. We're going to make mistakes. My job is to make sure we make fewer mistakes than everybody else, and that we're prepared. And we're going to make decisions. We might not always make the right decision, but we'll make the right decisions for the right reasons. So that's kind of my view on it. And with respect to the roster, my view of it is that if it works out, I'm taking credit for it. And if it doesn't... No, we'll have an entertaining team that's really quite deep. And what we do have here as a coach, unlike many in the NBA, who is willing to use his bench, he's demonstrated that, willing to nurture his bench and develop it. And I think we put him in a situation where he has players and different opportunities to draw from.
How would you be able to find anybody to play small forward?
We're looking. No, I like a roster. Like I said, I'm not a guy that, I mean, I like playing 10 guys. You know, we did it for 16 straight playoff games where we at least used 10 guys. And I think that when you do that, players have a tendency to take ownership in the game. They're a little more focused, knowing that the opportunity is always there for them to play. We play guys that are playing well. You know, we don't read the back of jerseys that often. I mean, if you're going pretty good, then we leave you in the game and we let you play it out, as you saw here during most of the season. Even in Steve's case sometime, you know, when those guys are going well, we just left them in the game and have them play it out. So I think having 10 guys, being 10 deep, make it competitive practices, and I also think it make it competitive for playing time. One of the things that I've always said is that coaches are never responsible for playing time. I think players are. And if you're playing well, you play. And, you know, I always told guys that there's only two reasons that I ever take you out of the game. Either you're tired or you're not playing very, very good. And if I take you out and you say, God, I'm not tired, coach, then, you know, that's an easy one, okay?
Anybody else?
No question. From a position where the player's best interest is your best interest to now a position where the team's best interest is your best interest, how do you make sure that dynamic between you and the players doesn't end up affecting egos?
Look, my responsibility is first and foremost to this organization, but the notion that there's some dichotomy between the players and the best interest of the organization, I think, is false. I mean, the reason this place is successful is because of the culture, because of the chemistry, and we need to continue to do things here that will promote that. And, are players going to be happy with every decision we make? No. But first and foremost, we have to maintain that culture. And this is one of the most player-friendly environments in the entire NBA, and I do everything I can to continue to promote that and make sure we maintain that. So I think that's the answer.
Well, do you have an ongoing dialogue with Steve Kerr and transition discussions with
Kerr? I have talked to Steve. He's been very gracious, very informative, seems very excited with his new opportunities, and was very excited for me to be taking on this and had nothing other than great things to say about the people here, about ownership here, the quality of the players. We haven't had extensive conversations, but Steve's a good friend, and I respect him, and I know I have big shoes to fill.
Okay, thank you very much. Julie's got a buffet in the back, right?
I
didn't make it. You got this one?
Robert, thanks.